Hello and happy Monday. I'm putting this out middle of the week. This is Bowler's Grind. I'm your host, Marshall Kennebrew. And today we have on co-host Kyle Michalowski and myself talking about the past tournaments that we participated in this past weekend and the upcoming tournaments we have going on the next weekend. Hope you guys enjoy. Hello, Kyle. Are you there?
Yeah, what just happened?
I don't know, but we are on and we are good to go. I sent out the message, so I'm set. How you doing right now?
I'm doing good. Another day, another loss.
Well, you know, you had to kind of, come back down to earth after the win. So this happens sometimes, but break down to me what happened in your loss. I'm sure there was some good that, you know, followed up the bad. So break it down to me.
So there were two tournaments I bowled. The Friday Night Five Gamer, the SST that was on, it was on 45 feet. I think I started too far left and tried to make it work. I couldn't get my ball to shape correctly, and when I did get it to shape, it went through the face every time. And so I just had a rough time there. The field was pretty strong. Simo, Darren, Jake, and a whole bunch of other really good guys from around the area were all there, and they were all there for the tournament that we bowled the next day, which was Saturday. And Saturday was a different story. Saturday, I started off really good. I shot like 240 and then 289. And so I was plus 100 after two games. And from there, I steadily went down, 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 down till like game seven, where I was still in the cut. I was one pin off of Simo, one pin ahead of Simo. And then I just couldn't get my ball to go through the pins correctly. I couldn't get my ball to slow down. I probably made a mistake from switching from urethane. I probably should have just stayed urethane the whole time. But I was trying to move off of it because it started to seem a little wishy-washy. And
break down in your words what wishy-washy means, because I feel what you mean, but just for the listeners, what was wishy-washy to your eyes?
Like I'd miss left and it would pick up, and I'd miss right and it was being a little lazy.
Okay.
Whereas, yep, like before, it would when I missed left, it would hold, and when I missed right, it would hook, pick up, and go.
Okay, cool.
And so I felt like it was getting a little off, so I tried switching to reactive, and it looked okay. And then I started 10-pinning a lot, and like, so I switched balls at the beginning of my next game because I had five single pins in a row, all 7 and 10 pins. I was like, okay, well, maybe I should just switch to a more responsive ball and stay up the back of it. It hooked a lot, so I moved in, and when I moved in, it never made shape. So I was like, okay, I moved a little back right, and it kind of made shape, but again, was leaving single pins. And I kept trying to make that work through the rest of the tournament, which ended up being a downfall of me because I couldn't shoot anything over 220 for the rest of the games, and I needed to be shooting about 230 every game. And I ended up plus 147 for the day. I was at my top. I went to 170. Yeah, 175 was the highest they got to. And then I just couldn't keep it up. I had a few bad games, and then I started missing some spares. I also got a little rattled because for some reason the fire alarm went off like right in the middle. Like, I had a really good game going. I had front five, and then the fire alarm went off and it rattled me, and I just started missing spares and just missing shots. And it took me a little bit to regroup after that. And then it came down to, like, I had the last two games to go, and I was like, okay, these both had to be big games. And then one of them was 180, and I'm like, okay, well, I have to at least shoot 260 this last game. or 240 this last game to get over 200, which I thought was going to be the cut. Ended up being, even if I shot 240, I would have been 27 pins off, because the cut ended up being 227 for 10.
Okay. And so a couple questions for you, and just, you know, feel free to, we can break it down or just give quick responses. But like, looking back on the games that you shot, would you say that you getting off urethane was one of the things you wanted to correct, or what was something that you wish you would have done differently?
I think getting off urethane would have been something that I would want to correct. I probably should have just stayed in it. But also, I've been thinking about it a lot the whole day today, because I've basically been spending the time thinking about what happened and what needs to change, because I'm having this issue where, like, I can play right and stay on top of the friction, but as soon as I have to start moving left, unless if there's friction in the middle of the lane, I struggle, because when I throw it right, either it doesn't hook or it hooks off immediately and has, like, I have no way of controlling that. And so I've been debating, and I'm wondering if, because I've started to get my ball cleaner onto the lane. I've had a problem with being too steep on the lane, which when I'm too steep on the lane, it's causing my ball to run out of energy immediately. But now I'm getting onto the lane, so my ball's storing energy, and it's just storing my entire rev rate up to the dry spots and just bouncing off whatever dry spot it finds. Or I'm far enough left that it's so clean onto the lane and my ball speed's too high that it never, ever tries to slow down. And so before I was doing that by just the ball instantly just smashing into the front of the lane and it reading it like that, and then skidding, it would straighten out, skid, and then hit the friction and roll the way I wanted to. Now that it's going on the lane properly, I need to slow down my ball speed to let the ball shape properly.
And you know, here's probably one of the things that will happen once you, I don't know this, but just when I hear slow down the ball speed, you'll probably have more control. So with the proper, like, accuracy, you might have, you know, might kill two birds with one stone.
Mm-hmm.
Having the better shape with more accuracy. But there's some things that you're saying that I'm hearing about myself that I'm taking little mental notes that I want to dig into. But go ahead, keep going.
And so, like, I've been bowling on a pattern league, and, like, I'm throwing urethane, and it's too snappy. We're on 33 feet, and my urethane ball is reacting like a shiny ball. And I'm like, this doesn't make any sense. And so I think that's part of the problem, because it's, like, across the board, the issue is on everything. At league, on the pattern league, on the regular league, at this tournaments, I just, unless if I have friction like blended correctly, which I don't always have. A lot of the times it's on fresh and it just doesn't see it right. And since we were bowling on what we were bowling on, people didn't really break it down in the middle very well, so it never opened up for me. So I think what I need to do is I just need to get better at, or I need to get my baseline speed down so that my ball reads the lane correctly and actually slows down a little bit in the front so that it starts going along its path correctly and not overreacting to the friction and allowing it to make its proper shape and be blended versus where it's just like bang bang. And that's how all my ball reaction is. It's either bang bang or it does nothing through the whole lane.
And, you know, I'm going to just follow up with one more thing just about this, and then I'll kind of dig into my experience this past weekend. But, like, would you say that when you say urethane, was it your purple hammer, or did you have a couple different options with urethane?
I couldn't use the purple hammer. The purple hammer is doing that same issue where it's just reading instantly. But I was using the pitch black, and since it's slower and it's a little stronger, it kind of doesn't do the really whippy motion. And even though it is doing it on my Wednesday night league, but at the tournament, it was just sitting there and rolling up. And luckily, there was so much oil in the middle that whenever I missed left, I could even miss like left, like towards the seven pin, and it would just float there all the way until it got towards the pocket, which was insane. But that's kind of how this weekend was. The scores were just absurdly high because if you were right with your thing, you basically had the world. Some people were making reactive work. And I think if my ball speed was lower, I would have had an easier time transitioning over to that. But I think that's what I really need to work on, is just getting my baseline ball speed down and only using the higher ball speed when it's needed. But like, I just can't get my ball to do the right thing, even though I'm throwing it physically good, in my opinion.
And you might, you know, like if you were to do it frame by frame and look at like your just actual makeup of like your steps and your walk, it might all be accurate, but you might be hitting the nail on the head, which is we have a lot of adjustments we can make, whether it's ball, left, right, up, forward, back. But one of the things that I think myself and a lot of other bowlers neglect is the ball speed. So, you know, this is something that we've never talked about. I've been bowling with and around you for over a year. We've never talked about the ball speed. We're always focusing on so many other things. And that's kind of like one of the fun and challenging things about bowling, is that there is no right answer. This could be one of the right answers. So to kind of, you know, look at your new week ahead and explore that, what would you say is something that you're going to do to try to measure the ball speed or to change in the ball speed? Like, do you have any thoughts?
I'm not quite sure how I'm going to do it, because I'm trying to do it without decelling. So that's the big trick right now, is I need to do it without decelling my thing. So whether I need to get closer on the approach and take really small couple first steps, or if I need to, I just got to think through of how I can do it, because I'm not quite sure how I'm going to go about doing it. I think moving up is going to be the easiest way to make it happen. But yeah, like I was just watching some of the PBA shows, watching where they're really left, and they're like, Simo was doing a three-step, and Belmo was just super short approach. So I think I just got to do better at making my approach smaller without the decel.
And I think the last thing you said is, like you said, Simo has a three-step approach. And I want to talk about that for a second. And I'm going to work backwards, because that's right on, like, it's on the tip of my head. So I don't want to miss it. So literally, I bowled on GameWorks, or at GameWorks, this past week. And I showed up and I had all these different, you know, heavy-duty balls ready to go. And I also had a ball in my car that I purchased from a friend of mine, Cindy Harrison, from my aunt. My aunt's getting into bowling. She lives in Iowa. And it is a pin down trend, the original trend. And, you know, it didn't work out for Cindy, so I bought it from her, and I'm just going to give it to my aunt. So I had it in my car, wasn't thinking about it. And I show up, and apparently the lane man had been sick for a while, so he hasn't been there. They haven't been oiled in over a week. Yeah. So I showed up, and I was going to work on, like, you know, a couple different things. And the first few balls I threw, just hooking into the gutter, hook. I thought, all right, this is terrible. So then I thought, I'm either just gonna, like, I was trying to struggle, like, figuring out what can I work on with this particular situation. So I thought, oh, I got a 13 pound. It's a 13 pound in the car. So I walked to the car, grabbed it, and I went right in front of the ball return. And when you're that far up, what is that? You know, I don't know the distance, but it's at least a couple feet from the original dots. So, like, you're pretty far up there, and the only thing I could do was just mimic what I had learned with two-handed and just, like, do the 1-2 step, like tippy toe, and then just go 3-4-5. And after a couple shots, I thought, this is fascinating, because I was figuring out how to hit the pocket on a lane that had no oil, and it told me that, like, maybe I have to develop something that is in front of the ball return, because you see a lot of pros, you see a lot of guys get so far left, but what you don't see is that they're shortening their approach. They're not just doing their typical either five or four step drop, a lot of them. So when you just said that Simonsen does a three step drop when he's in front of the, was it in front of the ball return or even more left than that?
It was in front of the ball return, maybe even more left. He was over the gutter cap for sure, though.
So, like, that just tells my brain, I not only want to, like, scrounge YouTube for videos of him doing that, but I want to also practice it because, I mean, that's just another tool to add to the bag when, you know, I'm going to rewind it back. I've had a lot of similar issues you're talking about as far as your thing. They're great when things are lining up, but I had an issue I bowled today. I bowled at the New Orleans no-tap tournament. I took about like a two-week tournament break. So I was just working on like mechanics and practicing a couple different things. And I felt really good going into it. And I was excited. And I felt like I had a really good morning routine that led my, you know, I did some jump rope. I talked about that in the last podcast. That does something to your brain. I swear, like, I've been doing this thing where I just try to do a base amount every day and then try to get, like, I try to beat whatever my streak was. So tomorrow I have to beat 127. That was my streak today. Okay. And total, I think I did like 400 jumps. Nothing crazy, but enough to, like, in 15, 20 minutes, your brain is a lot more alert than it was rolling out of the bed. So, head to the Orleans, felt good about the tournament. It's a no tap tournament. Nine pins hits a strike. Positive side of that. There's a lot of room for error. You know, you can miss left, miss right. As long as you hit nine, counts as a strike in the book. So I went in thinking I'm going to use the balls that I'm most comfortable with. And if I have to move left and use reactive, I will. But at first I want to post some good scores, feel comfortable, just like feel good about what I'm doing. So not put too much pressure with reactive and all the things that I struggle at. I wanted to go with comfortability at first. So I did my normal, just no thumb approach. I played at, I think my foot was at the 22 board and I was trying to land right around 20 and just push it back all the way up, you know, second arrow and just kind of nicely forward roll it to the pocket. Started with the purple hammer. Purple hammer was that 4K surface, so it had it's not polished, but it has a lot more smooth surface, and that was working. I think 10 strikes that first game, I shot like a 267, and I'm thinking, all right, not only am I lined up, I feel comfortable, I got the right ball, and I had tried out two or three different balls in warm-ups, and it's a house shot, so there shouldn't be a lot of moves that I have to make at that point in juncture. That's what I'm thinking. Game two, had a little dip, and I remember texting you, and towards the end of game two, I'm like, dude, this thing's overhooking. I've crept over to the 25 board. It's starting to rev up early, and it's just clipping the backside of the pocket, and I had a decision to make. The decision was ball down to something that's a little bit more smoother, like the tank, because I knew that that wasn't going to have such a heavy back end, or move more left with the purple hammer. And, you know, that's the third and fourth option of that, which I didn't unpack today, which is, wow, there's no lefties bowling. I'm just going to bowl back up. I'm running out of oil. Let me try to use the fill shot in game two, see what it looks like, and then just finish out there. It's a free shot. No one's using it. Or two-handed. So I know that sounds like a lot to a lot of people, but these are all, you know, we're all talking about different ways to getting to the pocket, however it suits you. So if you're the bowler that, you know, is going to move back on your approach forward, left, right, or change a ball, that's not how I perceive what I'm trying to accomplish. And I feel like today I made the wrong decision. I ended up going with the tank and I tried to just keep it tight and right. And not only was it hitting the face every single time and leaving me with an eight, which is terrible in no tap, but as I moved left with it, it would do what you say. It would just kind of fluff out there and not come back. And I thought, how does this urethane work so well when there's oil on the lane and when things are lined up right? But when the oil goes, how are other bowlers still using urethane? And that's the part that I'm trying to figure out is like, how are the Darren Tangs or the Buttriffs? I mean, obviously they've been bowling thousands of years longer than I have, but what allows them to have the confidence to just stick with the urethane. That's where I want to be. But I see a problem with whatever it is I'm doing. And a part of what you're saying is, you know, slow down the ball speed and maybe shorten up the approach. Not something that I did today. Maybe it would have worked. But those are some of the similar struggles that I was hearing that you're talking about that I experienced today. And to kind of conclude, first two games, like I said, right around 550, 560 with my handicap. Game three, man, I don't even want to, I just fell apart. I had seven, eight counts, five of which were splits. Mm-hmm. And at that point, after having a good game one and two, it was like, where did this come from? And once I did the math and I was like, I can't even get to 1100. That's typically the cash score. I said, I'm just going to bowl two-handed, see what this was, would have looked like on this particular, you know, situation. And voila, nine strikes or something high like that last game. And I thought, I have a lot of figuring out to do. I didn't make the right decision today. But going forward, I'd like to have the confidence to say, you know, two games are done. Let's go to two-handed. I need a little bit more push. And I would have felt more comfortable sticking with that ball because I felt like when I started making ball switches, it just was a lot. It was too many variables to handle. But I don't know what your thoughts are on that.
Oh, yeah. I think, well, with your two-handed game, you can definitely increase your ball speed, which gives you more range and doesn't force you to be so far left, because that's one thing that allowed me to stay in urethane so long in the tournament. We bowled 10 games and I didn't switch out of urethane until game 8.
Gotcha.
And so if you can throw it faster, especially with the rev rate that you have, since you don't have a thumb in it, you're able to keep it going there. But urethane can't make it back from those steep angles. It's just not able to do it, because that's just how urethane works. It rolls in the front and rolls out.
So one thing I do want to talk about is one of your fellow competitors that was also mentioned earlier, Mr. Darren Tang. I believe he won the tournament. I saw a post on Facebook. Yep. And he had three balls pictured. You know, yep, what they were?
All three urethane fast pitch, the UC3, the new asymmetric urethane by Rotogrip, and then pitch black.
Yep. And like, it was just, you know, I'm seeing this so often now. Like, if, again, not comparing myself to Darren Tang or any other bowler that is on that level, but what I'm seeing is from bowlers that enjoy urethane and really, you know, think of it as their first ball out of the bag versus just something they don't even want to touch. If you can master and know how to play the different angles, and for example, that new ball, that's a new tool to his bag that just helped him win a tournament, because I guarantee he was using it towards the end of the block. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what he would have used instead, who knows? But it's just, I want to have a similar approach that I know that when I have to go that far left, I don't have to bail on urethane and then go with reactive. If reactive is not going to give me the back end motion that I want, if I just want to stay with urethane and really develop that game, I'm highly intrigued by just seeing the different good bowlers that just, not all of them, but the ones that really do it well. I mean, they don't put that stuff down on the tougher patterns, it seems like.
Yeah, they use it by speed. They never, never, never go that far left with it. Like, they'll do it in videos on house shots, but house shots, you'll usually never see that much friction to the right on any kind of pattern. So you can't really do what you do with urethane on house shots.
So you would say for sure he was playing as straight up as maybe the pitch black than he was the UC3. Just it's just a different motion, or just
he may have been more left with the UC3, but not very many boards left, because that was, if you went left with it, you were just going 100 feet.
Right. So the moves are just what, cut in half, would you say, cut into a third, versus like what we see it like? Because I saw the video and he mentioned it was on a house shot and he's hooking the whole lane, but today that's probably not where he was playing it, you're saying, probably like the second arrow or something like that, or even more right. Like what
Yeah, about
area?
second arrow. It's like in between there. You're just basically moving things around in that area. You're never really moving left of that area. You're just either throwing it faster, staying more behind it, or trying to get around it to let it float. You just have to play with those little hand position things with urethane that'll just let you sit there and do it, because the nice thing with urethane is that it's the same motion over and over again. You just have to figure out how to get it to do the same thing. And that's been my problem, is I don't know when to put it, when it's time to stop using it. And I've been trying to learn that, but every time I try to learn it, I'm either wrong or I make the wrong moves off of it.
Right. It's a game of learning, but the ball speed is definitely something that I don't think is, you know, because it's so easy just to do whatever your regular walk is, that to change that up, A, might be a good thing to tell your mind, okay, we're doing a shortened approach. This means go slower. You know what I mean? Like that might be a good way to just really break it apart, versus walking the same five steps and trying to physically slow your body down. I don't know if that's a good thing, because like you said, that what you're causing yourself to do is decelerate at the deceleration point, but that's not what you're, that's the opposite of your objective, right?
So when you shorten it up, you're not causing your body to decelerate, but sometimes you accidentally do. Like basically you're trying to, because you're trying to fit it all in there, sometimes you're worried about going over the line, so you decelerate and then ends up making the ball hook way more than you wanted it to, and then ruining the whole point of what you just did.
Okay, so yeah, so if you're going to shorten up your approach, don't decelerate. And if you're going to stick to your regular five step, are you even going to try to do that and just do your normal and just say, I'm going to walk slower? Are you going to, like, you know what I mean? Without then causing yourself to decelerate too
I'm
much.
gonna play with it, but either way, my baseline speed needs to be down. Like across the board, I need to be slower.
Okay.
And because I think it's causing my ball to read the pattern too late, which is causing my ball reaction to be too snappy, no matter what I'm throwing. Even if I have, like, I threw fresh surface on the balls before. And the only tournament where I had any luck was the 1-1, where it was just too easy. You could literally throw it anywhere with any of the balls, and it looked pretty good. And it was just like, okay, so I need to. But when they started breaking down with the urethane, look, reactive was a little tricky. That's why when I switched off of it, I didn't have that great of a look, whereas other guys did. Because I think my baseball speed needed to be down, because it's just shooting through, just hydroplaning basically, never actually seeing the lane.
Okay. And what do you have going on next weekend as far as tournaments or things in the bowling world for you?
I have no plans for next week. Right now I'm just gonna try to focus on getting these things down, because I have been donating too much recently. Yeah, I won the ABT, but that's one win and a whole bunch of not even cashing. So if I'm winning one in a blue moon and then not even cashing at every single tournament that I bowl, that's not good, versus cashing in everything and not winning anything. I would rather have that than one win and a bunch of not even cashing, because you're basically losing money at that point, and I need to be at least competitive. I need to be in the hunt every time. If it's within a few pins, that's fine, but having it where I'm just not sharp enough to compete is not okay, and I need to start focusing on these little things like the ball speed and stuff like that and little moves. So I'm just going to be practicing for the next couple of months, honestly, till January. I don't plan on bowling anything.
No, that's perfect. That's, I think, one of the things that I was really honing in on as far as what I want to do is look at bowling in a spectrum instead of a game of scores. How do I get better, Marshall? Like when I leave the bowling alley, how do I get better with sleep tendencies, with recovery? As far as am I, like, if I'm sore, am I icing my knee, or am I just saying forget it? Am I stretching the night after? You know, like, is my bowling causing me to be better, or am I just chasing scores, right? Or chasing wins? So I think for me, I took a step back when I realized that, like, you know, I can get better at bowling without bowling every single tournament and event that there is. You know, and I looked at it differently. Like, you know, it's fun to bowl every event because you give yourself a higher chance at winning more often. But you also lose the ability, in my opinion, because we all work and do different things throughout the week, to track your progression over time and actually show improvements in your game. So for me, like my big focus in the next, what is it? It's November, is February. I know February, there's two big tournaments in town that are here at the exact same time. You got the Winter Nationals for ABT, and then you got the TAT tournament the same week. Now, my focus is like, all right, if I'm looking at bowling in the spectrum of an entire year, that's probably what the Super Bowl of bowling with those two tournaments here all week. And it is, I think, Super Bowl weekend as well, right? Would you say that's the biggest week in town?
Yeah, it's probably one of the biggest weeks, at least money-wise, for sure.
Well, and again, this is the prize we're all playing for, and we're all playing for winning at the end of the day. But at the same time, you can't win every single tournament. And if you get into it more tournaments than you are improving, I don't think that's a long trajectory for a long career in the sport. So, like, for my goal, I got 4 months to be at my best for that week of February. 4 months is 16 weeks. 16 weeks looks a lot like, you know, work, sleep. You know, you break down all the things that you have to do, and you really only have so much finite time to like improve in 16 weeks. So, like, you know, heading into this next week, week one of those 16, I feel like I've been making, like, the past 2 weeks, I've been making a positive strides towards improving and building my bag of tools as far as things that I can do on the lanes when I see the oil or whatever pattern I face. But, like, again, like, I think that's a good thing that you're actually going to be focusing on your ball speed and all the different areas of your game without having to see your name being posted on some sort of cash board. Because I think that's where, again, I don't know what a lot of people are into bowling for. I can't speak for a lot of bowlers, but I think that's what we all sometimes get caught up into, is chasing the wins and chasing the caches and chasing the, you know, notoriety of being a good bowler in town, which is great. You know, we all work hard and we all want to be good bowlers, but man, I kid you not, me not bowling as much and being in the gym, not all the time, but more than I was over the summer, doing little things here and there, I don't feel as gassed. I feel like my recovery's better. I feel like I can bowl longer. On Mondays, I bowl for like 4 hours sometimes, and it doesn't really bother me. You know, obviously the next day I get sore, but point is, in a nutshell, I'm trying to get to is there are so many areas you can improve as a person and as a bowler. And if you're going to chase those over the next 4 months, I think you're going to do a good job at that, as I will. So, yeah, that's my thoughts there.
Yeah, I definitely feel that's basically the game plan. I do feel like competing is very important, and the tournaments that I've been bowling have really been exposing things to me, because when you're bowling a long format, you're forced to try to hang in there and try to learn as much as you can, because you're 5 games in and there's still 5 more to go. You can't just throw the ball and forget everything that's going on. You gotta try to make something happen while you're still alive, and it's exposed a lot of things to me that I need to work on, and that my shortcomings that are preventing me from competing with these guys that are on the next level. I just need to get them dialed in and just get it going, because I know I have the ability. I've done things that I believe I can do again, but I haven't been able to do them, so I just need to find out what's missing. And I think right now the ball speed is the big thing, because I'm contemplating everything, and that's the only thing that seems to be the variable that hasn't changed that needs to change.
It's perfect. I know, what's his name? Two-hander. I see him bowl. I bowled with him on his team once, but I've seen him bowl all around town. And, you know, Ari Wilson, I think he just won a big tournament this weekend. He seems to have a lot of control. And he, I don't know if he's got a lower ball speed than you, but would you say that he does?
Yes, he does. He,
okay.
He himself says that he struggles throwing it faster too. Like right now, he's like, his top ball speed is like my normal ball speed, which is where the issue is. I need to be down closer to, like, not all the way down to him, but I need to be definitely lower than where I'm at.
Well, I mean, sorry, go ahead.
I said I definitely need to be lower than where I'm at, but I need to not, like, I need to find out where the sweet spot is. So I'm glad Edwin's pattern practice is back, because timing-wise, that works out for me, and it allows me 3 hours to just constantly get feedback and figure out if things are working or not and try a bunch of different things. I don't have to worry about anything in particular. I just have to focus on whatever I'm focusing on, and that's going to be the big thing that I need to focus on these next couple months.
Perfect. No, and you know, one thing that I'm thinking about, just my mind, so as far as Edwin's practice tomorrow, 6 to 9, do you think you're going to be there around 6, or what time do you think you'll be there?
I don't know. Golf course.
Golf course. Okay. So whenever you get there is whenever you get there. I was thinking, like, really segment it. Like, so if, what's the one thing you're going to work on? Ball speed tomorrow, right?
Yep.
Okay. So I should probably find one thing that I should work on tomorrow as well. Based off of everything I said today, it's moving left and handling the left side when the ball's overhooking. So the wolf pattern is short, right?
Yep. It's super short, 33 feet.
33. Okay, so super short. That's a good opportunity to work on this, would you say?
Yep.
Now, it's short. You're supposed to use urethane. So should I just use the purple hammer and try to hook it slow? Or what are some of the things I should be looking for tomorrow as far as, like, my one focus? Because I'm going to try to work it as far as left as I can. And just that's going to be my one focus.
Your goal, I would say, is to learn how to control your ball motion, because –
okay.
With your ball speed being so slow, either you have to work on getting your speed higher, or you have to work on different hand positions to make your ball roll straighter off of the friction, because your ball has so much time to read the pattern that, and then your rev rate comparatively to your speed is so overpowering that it just forces it left. Which is why you're throwing basically only urethane on everything.
Yep, sounds about right. So that's going to be my focus. Are you going to be on the wolf most of the time since we did the other pattern last week?
It all depends on what's open, because it's irrelevant. The pattern is irrelevant right now. My ball speed is all that matters, and that won't matter on which pattern I'm on.
Okay, perfect.
It'll just help expose if I'm doing it right or not, as long as I'm on a pattern, that'll help expose if it's correct or not, versus
right.
On a house shot where, like, if I throw it a little fast, it may catch a friction and strike, and I'm like, oh, well, maybe that was good, maybe it wasn't.
Right. Okay. So pattern practice tomorrow. I got the Balls and Babes trio event next Saturday, so I'm going to try to get to the lanes at least once or twice throughout the week outside, or probably one other time other than Monday, because Monday's kind of my heavy day. So yeah. I will see you tomorrow at 6-ish, 7-ish, whenever you get there. Is there anything else you wanted to cover in today?
I think that's everything.
Cool. All right. So we have a couple of things in the work, so I won't talk about it now, but until next week, talk to you guys later.
Have a good one.
Hey guys, if you made it all the way into this podcast, appreciate you taking the time to listen. We are getting ready for the end of the fall and the start of the new year, so we are going to be Doing this once a week, but at the same time focusing on a couple different things in the gym and with our mechanics. But we will keep doing this as a way to kind of reach out to people, let us know what we need to work on, and let you guys know what we're working on. So hope you guys have a good week, and talk to you next week.